That was inspiring, youth choir. Don't let them take your testimony. Amen. Praise God. Our format in our sharing of the words a little differently on Wednesday night, so I invite you just to remain seated for the word. But tonight, I'm going to talk about walk, don't run. Walk, don't run. And it might have been a hall monitor at school. It might have been a teacher with you. It might have been a parent. It might have even been a policeman. But how many has heard that in your life, especially as a child? Walk, don't run. Did you know that people who faithfully serve God, people who ultimately see the fulfillment of God's promise in their life, they're walkers. They're walkers. They're people who just keep putting one foot in front of the other, serving the Lord. Progressively, day by day, moving forward. And I'm using it, pun a little differently, but what I'm trying to say by this title, you'll face things that will discourage you. You'll come up against oppositions, but don't run from serving God. Keep on walking in serving God. Amen? Let's look at the text tonight. And I won't read all the verses, but I want us to have this before us as we look at it from the life of Abraham. We're talking about the faith like the fathers. Now, there's going to be a change tonight. All these chapters, all these Wednesday nights, we've called him Abram. We've called her Sarai. There's going to be a change tonight. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram. And I'm just parenthetically going to say, I know you noticed, but Billy Graham passed away today at 99. And a leader, probably the greatest preacher of the last century. But Abram was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Here it is. Walk before me. Walk before me. And be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thou, here's the change, neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Now, I want you to know that the rest of this chapter, the biggest bulk of the rest of the chapter, deals with this commandment of circumcision. That's a interesting and difficult subject, but as we approach it tonight, we need to understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us. And the other thing is, this is an important part of this story tonight. So taking those scriptures, let me tell you the story. And I got to review just a little bit. Look how many Wednesday nights we've missed with this. But Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him a son. He waited 10 years, no son. So at 85, Abram and Sarah got tired of waiting, and they tried to make it happen with that Hagar and produced a son called Ishmael. But when we come to our story tonight, it's been 13 years since we've heard anything about Abraham. In one chapter, 13 years, heard nothing of Abraham. Worse than that, it's been 13 years since Abraham has heard from God. Can you imagine? 13 years. It's been 13 years since Abram and Sarai implemented their own way to fulfill God's promise. And they had Ishmael. They had resorted to that custom of the time of Sarah giving her maid to her husband to have a child by proxy, a surrogate child. And when they produced that child, God said, no, this is not the promised son. Now, here's the thing. After God said, no, Ishmael's not it, they had to wait 13 years to hear from God again. You would think that God would have helped them out and going to, and went ahead and gave them Isaac. But now they've waited 13 years. And Abraham is 99 years old. And Sarai is 90 years old. It sure doesn't look like there's going to be a promised son. Not a bit. And so after 13 years of silence, God appears before Abraham. And the first instruction that comes out of God's mouth after 13 years is, Abraham, walk before me. Keep on walking. You haven't heard in 13 years, but keep walking and be perfect. I'm going to come back here because this is where we're headed tonight. But what God said in essence, and look, it's there. He said, if you'll walk, I will. You walk, and I will. Aren't you glad that promise is true tonight? At this point, God reiterated his covenant, and he revealed himself as the Almighty. And when he said to Abraham, I am the Almighty, Abraham fell on his face in total subjection, total surrender, total obeisance. He was singing, I give my all to you. He falls before him. God begins to go over the covenant he's given to Abraham. See, he said, I'll give you many descendants. You'll become the father of many different people groups in the world. And then at this point, God said, I'm changing your name. Now, you may not remember, but Abram meant father in honor of an idol god because Abraham came out of idolatry. But now God said, I'm changing your name to Abraham, the father of many nations. And he said, Abraham, I want you to understand something. This covenant I'm making you will not expire. It will not one day run out. It's going to happen. It's going to go on forever. And because of you, you're going to have descendants and children that will worship me everlastingly. And Abraham, on top of all of that, I'm going to give you this land. God's just reiterating his promise. And so he says to Abraham, because I'm giving all this to you, I want you to keep walking. I want you to be perfect. And he said, I'm going to give you a sign, Abraham. The sign that I'm going to give you is not a public sign. It's not for others. This sign is for you. Every male of your house that is under my covenant is going to receive this rite of circumcision. Every child that's male that's born at 8 days is to receive this sign. It's a sign for you to know that you are a part of my covenant. You are a chosen one. You are a part of the descendants of Abraham. And Abraham, I want to tell you something. Not only am I going to change your name, I'm going to change your wife's name. She no longer is going to be called Sarai. We're going to call her Sarah, which means princess. Why princess? Because all those descendants that she and Abraham's going to have, some of them are going to be kings. And one of them is going to be the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Sarah, princess, a king is going to come from you. What did Abraham do? He began to laugh. I don't think it was a laugh of bitter skepticism. I don't think it was a laugh of ridicule of what God had told him. I think it was a laugh of complete confoundment. Wow. Why? Duh. Abraham's 99 years old. Did you know it's minutely possible at 99 for a male to produce an heir? But that's not the problem. Sarah is 90 years old. And biologically, it's impossible for her to have a child. Exactly. Exactly. This is going to be what God does. Now, God does something different this time. You know, it seems like he's been stringing Abraham along, but this time he says, Abraham, in essence, he said, Abraham, you've waited 25 years, but I'm going to tell you something this time I never said before. This time, I'm going to tell you one more year. Because within a year, you're going to have that promised son. Do you realize if you read this story, the last words Abraham heard from God at this setting was next year. You've waited 25 years. Keep walking, because next year. Next year. Abraham immediately obeyed God and he circumcised all the males of his household at 99. So let's look at the truths real quick. You ready for the truths? Buckle your seatbelt. Number one truth I want you to get from this story. Abraham was insane. Right? We've learned last week. Our vice president said that he talks to Jesus and Jesus talks to him. And the response from the liberal crowd was, Mike Pence is insane. Well, following that logic, Abraham was totally insane because he talked to God. And guess what in our story? God talked to him. As I said Sunday morning, if that's the measure of insanity, God make us insane. Amen. Abraham fell on his face. That's a form of obeisance, complete submission. You see, you know, there's a series of showing submission. There's a slight curtsy, and there's a further bow down at the waist, and then there's a getting on the knees. That's bowing down. But the ultimate sign of surrender was to stretch out on your feet, and something Abraham didn't do, but later you'll see in Scripture, is to kiss the feet of the conqueror. And I just want to say all this. I don't have time to go into it. But the very word for worship in the Greek means to kiss towards. Because the ultimate act of worship is when we prostrate ourselves and we make ourselves humble before the Lord. That's real worship. How many songs do we not have tonight about giving all to the Lord? And here it is. When Abraham stretched out before the Lord, it wasn't because he got tired of standing. It was because he was humbly giving himself totally to the Lord. And I want to ask you, not literally, though, by the way, you know, we Pentecostals, we kind of do things like that, but have you ever just stretched out and prayed before the Lord? I'm not talking because you wanted to catch a few Z's, but you just wanted to, amen, stretch out and pray on your face. The second lesson we learn from our story tonight is God is in control even when nothing seems to be happening. We know from the series and we know from the banners, God's got a lot of names. Why did he choose on this occasion to tell Abraham, I am Almighty God? He did it to tell Abraham, I'm in control, bud. You've waited. You don't think it's ever going to happen, but I'm the Almighty God. I am in control. You see, Abram waiting all those years from the promised son, it made it look like as if God wouldn't or God couldn't fulfill the promise. And so God's response is, you're thinking either I can't or I won't, but I want to remind you of something. I'm the Almighty God. I mean, knows he has all power in heaven and in earth. Here's another lesson we learn. Serving God is a walk. It's not a sprint. Serving God is a walk, not a sprint. Abraham's promised fatherhood, he sure didn't get there very quickly. 26 years. I want you to know, folks give up too easy serving God. I've seen the sprinters. I've seen the sprinters in new converts. I've seen the sprinters in ministry. I've seen the sprinters. They testify powerfully. They're excited in worship. But when the things of life really hit and the promises of God aren't laid in their lap on the next week, the sprinting quits and they're out. They've taken a detour. They've quit. I want to tell you once again, and all through the Scripture, I got a whole message in the word walk. I can't go there. But if you really want to serve God, it's putting spiritually one foot in front of the other. Amen? Amen. I got even some stories here. So does Esau. But I just want to leave it there tonight. Serving God. Abraham walked before the Lord, and that was God's instruction to him. God never told Abraham to sprint. Never told him to run. He said, Abraham, walk before me. Here's another truth we learn from this story. Being perfect is progression, not arrival. See, he said to Abraham, he said, walk and be perfect before me. Not perfect once Isaac gets here. Not perfect once my promise comes to pass, but be perfect right now in the walking. I know we have a destination. I know there's a goal that God has for us. But being perfect isn't, well, I've arrived. Being perfect is, I may not be what I should be, but I'm sure not what I was yesterday. And I'm going on to be what I should be, right? Perfect is far more about direction than destination, right? That's what he said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Being perfect isn't getting where we're headed. It's faithfully keeping in that direction progressively. Here's another truth we learn. God knows what he's going to make us. God knows what he's going to make us. I wish I'd had Brother Dearth pull this verse back up, but just listen to this. It hasn't happened yet, but when God went back over the promise, please listen to these words from the scripture. God said to Abraham, a father of many nations have I made you. Isaac's not even born. And God said, a father of many nations have I made. That's past tense, isn't it? I have made you. It hasn't happened yet, but if God says it's going to happen, it's as sure as if it's already done. He hasn't even had a son, and God said, I have made you the father of many nations. I want to say it again. God knows what he's going to make us. And to do that, God changed his name. I've had folks tell me through the years, some of you can still remember it, but Brother Vaughn had nicknames for everyone. Did you know God has names for everyone? I got nicknames for people too. I'm just afraid to tell them. They won't like it. Have you ever wondered what name God has for you? God had a name for Abram. How many's thinking with me tonight? Are you thinking with me? How many has ever wondered about what name God has for you? You say, I don't believe in that stuff. You need to read scripture. A new name I will give you. How many knows when you sing, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. What name? We'll get there in a moment. He changed Abram's name to Abraham, and he changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Well, our Sarah's in the back here. But did you know, Brother Brian, every morning when you say, Sarah, get out of bed and fix me breakfast, you're saying, Princess, would you get out of bed and fix me breakfast? Every time you say, you're saying it. Every time you say, Sarah, come in here. Bring me my house slippers. You're saying, Princess. Did you realize Abraham every day? God did that. God fixed it so the husband had to call his wife Princess continually every day. Because that's what God saw in Sarah. He saw a princess. What's your name? What name does God have for you? Here's another truth we learn. God's promises happen because he's the one that makes them happen. God's promises happen because he's the one that makes them happen. God's promises happen because he's the one that makes them happen. Now, we get some verses here, and I want you to do me a favor. This is when God begins to say, I will. I'm going to read these quickly here, but every time we get to an I will, I want you to read these with me. Okay, verse 6, here we go. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful and make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, to thy seed after thee, and give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and this is what God's saying to Abraham. I will, I will, I will, I will. And that's what I want us to get tonight. God said, you walk and I will. This is for us today. This is for us tonight. This is God's promise to from young people across this. But if you walk, I will. I want to tell you, even our salvation is tied up into what he will. Yeah, we cooperate, we walk, but he's the one that does it. Aren't you glad to know that? How are these things going to happen? Because you walk, I'll do it. Now, God did something here. He said, I want you to circumcise your male children to show that they're a part of the covenant. But what I want to be very clear here, and you can read the rest of the chapter, circumcision was not the covenant. It was, the Jews later got mixed up on that. You can read about it in Romans too. They thought just because there was circumcision, they were the true children of God. No, because circumcision wasn't the covenant. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant. It was a sign that a person had the covenant. Let's apply this. You know, there are things that we do. We don't do them in order to be saved. We do them because we are saved. Right? And I want you to know, Paul applies this. And you know, whatever you think about the subject in the preaching, Paul used it in the preaching, and he said, listen, the circumcision that's important today is the circumcision of our hearts. What has happened to our hearts? Amen. You can go out and buy a wedding ring and put it on your finger. That does not make you married. I'm talking about this sign of the covenant God gave. But if you're married, a wedding ring is a great sign that the covenant is there. Amen? Same with water baptism. I can put you down in this water baptism tank 10 times on the same evening. It'll never save you. But water baptism might make you pretty clean 10 times, but water baptism is a sign that you have been saved. That's why I've had some folks tell me before, I'm saved, I just don't want to be baptized in water. I said, you've got this thing all backwards. If you're really saved, why wouldn't you want to be baptized in water? Here's the take home tonight. We have these truths, and I'll be through in just a moment. Here's the take home tonight. Stick with it even when you're getting nothing. No son, no son, no son. 25 years. No son, no son, no son. Stick with it even when you're getting nothing. Take this truth home with you. Number two, keep consistently, day by day, step by step, serving God even when nothing seems to be happening. There are those who are always making changes because they don't see God's plan fulfilled in their lives right away. So they keep changing, in and out, up and down, and change their beliefs, change churches, change goals, change, 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 change. You'll never see God's plan for you fulfilled that way. The people who see God's plan fulfilled in their lives are the walkers day by day. Next truth to take home with you, believe God's view of you. God said, I'm calling you Abraham, father of many nations. God, why don't you look around? How many kids do you see? I don't see myself as Abraham at all. But God saw him as Abraham. Believe God's view of you. Now, I want to tell you something. Everybody's listening, right? God's view of you, God's name for you is never loser. God's view of you, God's name of you is never you're worthless. Right? That's not how God sees you. Don't believe Satan's view of you. Don't believe even your view of you. Believe God's view of you. Take this truth home with you. Keep your commitments. You see that thing about circumcision? That was all it was about. It was a sign of the covenant, but it required a commitment from the people of God. Amen. As you're walking, keep your commitments to God. Live a life that shows that you're saved. And remember, this ritual that God gave Abraham wasn't a public thing. It was a private thing that spoke to individuals. Live such a life that you know you're saved. Right? And again, not to earn salvation, but because you are saved. Music, would you come? You know how God spoke to you? Believe it. Keep on walking. In the last 7 years, accidents involving people walking while on a device has quadrupled. Let me give you just a few examples. 24-year-old woman walked into a telephone while texting. This one, you see it on the film, she fell into a basement. She was on her cell phone. So was her friend there. She's just a step away. A 28-year-old man was walking along the road and he fell into a ditch while on his cell phone. A 12-year-old boy was playing his video game. He was clipped by a pickup as he walked out into the street. On and on we could go. One of my favorite was a man was walking and talking to his boss and walked right into a grizzly bear. The lesson tonight is keep walking. But as I close, I want to add one thing. Don't let yourself, the world, or Satan distract you. The only way to keep walking is to keep your eyes on the Lord, your eyes upon His Word, the eyes upon Him. How many feels like keep on walking? Faith like the Father's. Let's stand across this building. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for your word tonight that has spoken to us from 4,000 years back of a man who kept walking even when the promise was delayed. God, meet us in these altars tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If it's your desire to keep on walking, would you fill these altars tonight? Let's seek the Lord. God, I want to walk with you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I thought